Duke Camp Style Laredson live in studio this morning, and joining us over the phone now is Jeremiah Jensen. Good morning, JJ.
Good morning, guys. How's it going? Seeing warm up there?
That's not very nice.
That's not even funny.
Well, hey, I know it's freezing up there, but it's not much better here in Salt Lake, so I feel your pain, just not at that level.
It's okay, but we know you understand, because some people may have been under a rock. They don't realize that you are from this area. So you are a Star Valley graduate, class of 95, Duke, and
that's right.
And so you know all about all about cold winters and such.
I'm well conditioned. It's in my blood, so I'm very tolerable of the weather here. So yeah, for sure. I don't miss those below 0 days, getting up, having to go catch the bus, or, you know, having to unplug your block heater in your car. I remember those days well.
Yeah, that's where we're at now. That's where things are at now.
Already. Anyway, let's talk football, shall we?
Well, Jeremiah,
let's talk about better things.
Yes. The battle for the old wagon wheel is this weekend. Jeremiah, BYU is at Utah State. You think you know a team, and then BYU pulls off the big upset. Utah State gets pummeled. I don't know what to think about this game anymore.
I don't either. I'm totally confused. We're dealing with two Jekyll and Hyde teams. Utah State's been excellent at home this year. They've been awful on the road, the exception being San Diego State, in a game that they almost blew, by the way. So I'm still not convinced they're a good road team. So I don't know what to think about Utah State. Jordan Love, his numbers aren't where we thought they would be. A lot of that has to do with his receiver core not being good enough, a lot of drops, things like that. So Utah State's kind of an enigma, and BYU, for those of you up there following BYU, you're probably as frustrated as any fan base in the country, because you've seen your team go on the road and beat Tennessee. Look, I know Tennessee's not what they were, but that's still a nice win in SEC country. And then the next week they dock off USC, and you're thinking, all right, well, this is the next step for this program. And then they go on the road and lose to Toledo and South Florida, and you're like, well, what is going on here? So two programs that are kind of Jekyll and Hyde and a little inconsistent right now. So anyone's guess what's going to happen on Saturday night in Logan?
One thing that always stands out to me in this matchup, Jeremiah, is the fact that BYU had a bye week this week to prepare for this. What is somebody who's around those programs really close in the locker rooms and things like that, what kind of advantage is that for the Cougars in terms of preparation?
At this time of year, the bye week serves, most importantly, for a time to get healthy. And for BYU is another week to get Jaren Hall healthy, who I think is going to start for BYU on Saturday night, which is interesting because Baylor Romney played really well against Boise State. But Jaren Hall is the backup to Zach Wilson. I think they'd like to get Jaren Hall out there on the field. He's just a better quarterback. So that's one example of what a bye week can do, is it allows you to get healthier. And I think that'll significantly help BYU, while Utah State went and got beat up pretty bad in Colorado Springs. Jaylen Warren, their running back, got nicked up again. David Woodward, their linebacker, got nicked up. I don't know what his status is. So, I mean, that's the biggest thing to me, is it's less about preparation. It's more about getting healthy. And right now, BYU's probably going to be the healthier team going into this one.
Jeremiah Jensen talking with us, of course, for First Bank Sports Friday. And, you know, the big, when you look at BYU and the season that they've had, and you referenced it really, really well, but the Boise State win, when things are going bad, of course you start thinking, okay, what's the issue here? And Kalani Sitake's come up quite a bit, and it's been an interesting ride for Kalani, because this has happened a lot for him, where he's lost the games he's supposed to win and then has won the game he has had no business winning. And so what are your impressions on Coach Sitake and his staff? Is he the fit for BYU, and do you think he's going to be their guy in the upcoming seasons?
Well, in my opinion, I think he is. I think he should get an extension. I don't see any other coaching candidates across the country that fit the qualifications that BYU requires, being an active member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So I think he's the best guy, and I think that he's shown enough to me that he's the guy that can lead this program, and he knows the history. He understands it. I think some of the things that are troubling is the inconsistency, right? How do you beat USC one week, and then a month later you're struggling to beat South Florida? That doesn't make any sense. And so that consistency is lacking. I still think they got to figure some things out with their coaching staff. They did make a change in play calling against Boise State. I think Aaron Roderick played a more prominent role in calling plays on offense than Jeff Grimes did. That's a little subtle change that happened in that game. And Kalani Sitake took over the defensive play calling duties. I think that Kalani just needs to take more control of his program. I think he's been trying to do it too much like his mentor and Lavelle Edwards. He's tried to delegate too much with this group, and I just don't think with the football the way it is today that can often work. I think he needs to take control of this thing, and we'll see if he's done enough to get the extension. It's a little troubling that at this point he doesn't have it, because he would enter next year as a lame duck head coach with no contract, and that's not good for recruiting. That's not good for a program. You don't see that anymore these days. So I think he's the guy, but it's interesting that he doesn't have that yet. We'll see what happens at the end of the year.
Well, Jeremiah, while we have you on the air, we wanted to have you join Dal and I in making picks for some of these games happening in college football. And Dal and I, every year we keep track, and we have a little contest, and whoever picks the most correct games at the end of the season, well, the loser has to buy the winner a hat or a baseball cap. So okay. We're going to make our picks today. And
I had to buy an ugly Utes hat this last year.
Oh, it's so nice. But I tell you, Jeremiah, it fits me so well.
Of course, I've got several Wyoming hats at Duke's expense. So
It's true. So Dal's up by one, and so that means he has to pick the games, but we'll let you pick them first, and then Dal and I will make our picks. You good with that?
Let's do it.
We need your expertise opinion to sway our vote here. So let's start with this BYU at Utah State game. Now that we've had your analysis, who are you going to pick to win it tomorrow night?
Before the season, I picked Utah State to win this one in Logan. Being at home, they're a good home team. Jordan Love, the quarterback, all these things. But their inconsistency along with the injuries has me a little concerned about them. I think BYU's hot right now with the Boise State win, having a bye week. I think they go up to Logan and they squeak one out. I'm going to go BYU 23, Utah State 20.
Well, I'm wrong every time I pick the BYU game. In fact,
people are.
if you're looking for consistency in the BYU win loss column, whatever I pick, the opposite happens. I'm with you. I really want to pick Utah State for many reasons, but as far as this matchup, I keep coming back to the idea that it really does kind of feel like what you just said. BYU is hot. Utah State's kind of banged up, but I just can't do it. I have to pick the Aggies.
You're picking Utah State?
Yeah, I am.
Okay,
BYU fans, thank you. BYU fans,
yeah, probably. Yeah.
Well, probably. I'm going to side with JJ, and I'm picking BYU because, now correct me if I'm wrong, but Utah State has kind of owned this game in the past couple of years, right? It's been a while since BYU's won.
They've won two in a row, and they've won by an average of 15 points in those two wins.
All right, so I think it's BYU's turn, I guess is what I'm saying, and it just feels like this is one BYU's going to snag.
They're not playing with toys in the toy room. It's not their turn.
It is. I think the Y is going to get this one, so I'll pick BYU. Second game, the team that dominated Utah State last week was Air Force. They host Army this weekend. Who you got, an Army at Air Force?
I'm going to go with Air Force at home. They're just so. I mean, I'm going to give Air Force credit this year. They're better this year than they have been the last few years. So I've been impressed by them. Army's a little down, so I'm going to go Air Force at home.
I'm absolutely feeling the same way. In fact, from a Wyoming Cowboys fan standpoint, the Cowboys have their toughest stretch of the season absolutely coming up in the next month, and Air Force kind of dotting that sentence at the end. So I'm kind of looking down the line. But, yeah, I think Air Force wins this course. It's a huge matchup for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy on the line out there. So I'm picking the Falcons.
I'll be with you guys. I'll pick Air Force that one as well. Boise State, 21th ranked team in the country right now. They're taking on San Jose State, and Boise State's going to be on the road. What do you think, JJ?
It's for the first time in forever, I'm actually have to pause and think about this when you say San Jose State. I'd usually just say whoever is San Jose State's playing, that team rolls. But San Jose State's pretty good this year. I'm not comfortable living in a world where San Jose State's somewhere around mediocre. It's really awkward. But Boise State rolls in this. I'm going to go Boise State, just not by as much as they usually beat San Jose State.
Yeah, you hit that right on the head. It's San Jose State has been putrid the last few years. And so, yeah, you're just basically, well, they're the 130th best team in the country. So, yeah, everybody else. Yeah, Boise's going to win this, but I think it's going to have some competitive moments. So, yeah, I'm the same way.
I'm also with you guys. Boise State wins. A couple big games of the Pac-12. Of course, the ninth-ranked Utah Utes. That defense has shown up big time in a couple of weeks. They have a big test this weekend on the road in Washington. Your thoughts, Jeremiah?
Utah's defense is on a historic run right now in their last four games. Utah's outscored their opponents 146-23. Washington is much better, I think, than the last four opponents. Speaking of a team that's been very inconsistent this year, it's tough to go up to Husky Stadium and win. It's in Seattle, but the way the Utes are playing right now, I think they're going to go up there and beat Washington, and I don't think it's going to be as difficult as some may think. We're just so conditioned to think that Washington's so tough to beat. This is not the same Washington team they have been the last three or four years. You go up to Seattle and win, I think they win by a touchdown or two.
Jeremiah, do you feel like maybe there's some Pac-12 championship game demons that Utah is going to try and exercise this weekend?
You have no idea how bad Utah wants to beat that team up there. No idea. It's, yeah, for sure.
I'm going to pick the Utes as well, based on their that defense and, of course, that hatred.
I'll pick Utah also. Here's another game that has big implications for
intriguing.
Utah.
This one's intriguing.
This one's big for Utah moving forward, because if Utah wants to get into that playoff scenario, if they even have a shot at it, they need Oregon to win out, and then Utah can beat Oregon in the championship game. So 7th-ranked Oregon is at USC. What do you think about that one, Jeremiah?
Yeah, this is very uncomfortable for Utah fans being Oregon fans for a little bit. This speaking of hatred, but Oregon's going to win that game. It's going to be close. I think you saw they barely squeaked by Washington State at home last week, but USC's really banged up, and I think this is a good matchup for Oregon. A lot of people are on USC this week because USC's good at home, and it just feels like it could be one of those upset deals. I'm going to go Oregon, though. I think Oregon finds a way to win at the Coliseum.
Man, I feel like I'm just copying what Jeremiah is saying.
No,
you're good. It does. It feels that way. Everybody's talking about the skill and the talent of the USC receivers and things like that. But Oregon is kind of, they have a different feel about them this year. It just feels like they're making big plays when they need to. And yeah, I'm going to pick the Ducks.
All right, we're 3-for-3 for Oregon. I'll pick the Ducks as well. A couple of games around the nation of note that are intriguing. 5th-ranked SMU is at 24th-ranked Memphis.
That's a 15.
Right, I said 15, right?
Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, maybe I missed it.
I'm taking Memphis from the upset.
Hey.
SMU's perfect season is going to come to an end this weekend.
And see, even that, I was going to pick Memphis. I'm picking Memphis. Picking the Tigers. I think SMU should have lost last week. They kind of seem like paper Mustangs to me. I don't think they're 15th ranked best in the country. So yeah, I'm picking Memphis.
I'll take Memphis as well. I like that upset pick. All right, last game, Jeremiah. Top 10 matchup: 8th-ranked Georgia at 6th-ranked Florida.
Ooh, this is tough. I'm gonna go Georgia. I think they have the better quarterback play. Florida has been quite a story this year, losing their starting quarterback and still remaining competitive. They have that lone loss to LSU, but I'm going to go Georgia in this one.
You know, this is one of those games where I have to remind myself how many times the Georgia Bulldogs have ruined my picking selections over the years. They're always higher than they should, and I kind of got enamored with them earlier this season, and then what do? Of course, they lost. I am not picking you, Georgia. I've been bitten too many times by the Bulldogs. I'm picking the Gators in this one.
So I'm down one right now. So Dow and I have differed on one game. That was BYU-Utah State, so I could tie it. I could go for two here and try and take the lead. I'm going to go with JJ, and I'm going to pick Georgia. And maybe next week I'll be up one.
Yeah, could be. You were up one a long time.
All right. I'm picking Georgia.
I like it. Go for the win.
That's right.
Go for the win.
Yeah. Or I'm going to be down by three. We'll see how it all plays out.
Ties are for Europeans. We don't like that.
Hey, fortune favors the bold.
JJ, as always, thank you so much for your time. I think before we cut you loose, we've seen a couple Jazz games. What are your thoughts early on of the Utah Jazz? Here, real quick at the end.
Love what I've seen so far. If you're a Jazz fan, this is going to be a special year. 4-1, the best start in 11 years. And they're 4-1 while trying to figure out how to play together. They're winning while trying to figure out each other, which is a great sign. Their only loss was a game where they didn't have Boyan on the road against a good L.A. Lakers team. This team's really good, so get on the bandwagon. The Jazz are going to be a lot of fun this year.
Jeremiah Jensen joining us for First Bank Sports Friday. Thanks, JJ.